Very excited, and I mean that. I struggle a lot of times with, Mike, am I good? One, two. Sometimes topical sermons for me are a little bit more difficult. I'll tell you what, this one is not. This one has been, I've just been enjoying preparing for it. And really, I want to say just enjoying watching God prepare me for it. I really mean that, because God is doing a work in me, and He's making some evidences known. So I want you to know that this particular series of sermons I'm preaching and the discussions we're going over Sunday school is very, very vital, I believe, to the health of the church right now. And I want you to do everything you can to be a part of it. And I mean that. Listen to me. I've told you before is that I believe that as God wants to move, and I can look through Scripture, I can look through time, I can look in my own life, any example I want to, and I can see that in all honesty, when God starts to do a work at some time, there's always an opposing force against it. We're not talking about just the force. We're talking about there is actually a spiritual war that goes on. And it is, and again, I've avoided talking about it. Some people are too hypersensitive about that, right? Every single time it's just this, you know, they make something small into being some huge, colossal fight between good and evil. When in all honesty, it might just be something a lot more simple than that. So I try to stay away from making it too big, but honestly, as I've been preparing for this series, is I've been realized how important some of these messages are to you guys and to me, that I've realized that there's more hindrances and things that are going to draw you away from it. Okay? It's just what it is sometimes. Sometimes you can't get sick, you can't help it. Right? Sometimes you're out of town, you can't help it. There's nothing wrong with going. Ted was gone last week. I can pick on Ted. He doesn't mind. Nothing wrong with that. It's a great thing to do. But he didn't get to hear last week's sermon. And so I want to give you the tools by which, and I just want to stress to you how important it is so that you know that there should be very few things that pull you away from this right now. You want to miss my sermons down the road? Fine. Do everything you can right now not to be pulled away from this series of sermons, okay? And if you are, and it's something that you believe that God has set on you to do, which is fine, again, we're not taking roles and saying if you're not here a certain amount of time, we're kicking you out of the church. I'm just saying if you're gone for good reasons, which is good, like to be gone for family or other things, then do. If you're sick, can't make it, fine. We're going to make the resources available to you, right, Michael? I'll put you on the spot again. The sermons have got to be at some point, and I'm going to do this each week because this is the time when I remember besides walking in and telling you this. I love Mike to death. Mike, you do a great job for us. In all honesty, I could not run that and do this. If you were not here today, this would be a little difficult. I cannot hardly think of a time when I did not look back there and see Mike Enfinger there supporting me and supporting ministry. So thank you for that. You're doing a great job, Mike. I pray that years and years down the road, you will see the evidence from this. But along with that is that you got to get these things so people, you got to get that tool out there. So we're going to try to get this to where it's online. I think we discovered that's the best. We talked about CDs. Nobody wants to use CDs as much. If you need a CD, come to me. But we're going to get it at a spot where you can probably download it on your device, your phone, or whatever is easy for you, okay? But we're going to have those things. And so he's going to work on that. If he forgets next week, trust me, then it'd be the same thing. And he'll say, oh, I got to do it. And it'll get there. So you'll get to hear the sermons. But you need to get you need to get what's going on, and you need to pay attention to it. Because right now, Mike can go ahead and put it up there. I've got my remote. Hopefully this will work a little better this week. But we are on a series of Seeking Christ in 2016. I know that sounds kind of catchy. I don't do these things a lot. I know you may think that I'm just trying to freshen things up and be a little different. It's not that at all, okay? I just realize there's some things that help my ministry at times. And I know that this doesn't hinder you. This hopefully will help you to remind you of what we're doing. Because this lines up with my heart as your pastor. Is that I know that I want to, through myself, I want to seek Christ more this year. And I want to see God do some certain things, but there's some groundwork that needs to be done. And it needs to be done through a teaching lesson. You need to hear, I need to instruct, and then your mind needs to go, oh, I get it. And then the Spirit of God needs to inside you develop an agreement with the Word of God, and then to the point of where that all lines up to where you do this. You take a little step. It's like this little step. I'm good with that. Some of you may want to go big. Some of you need to take some big steps. That would be awesome. Pray God sees you to do that. But just needs that. Those things to line up. Good instruction, right? Good direction. Lines up with the heart of what God is already wanting to do. So the Spirit of God is moving in that direction and collectively moving and bringing the church together to do just that. And you're going to see more of what that really is in the future. But right now, you're in the instruction part, okay? You're in the foundation. I'm trying to lay some sermons out for you. So a lot of last week was just getting you to understand kind of the format, so you kind of know each week what we're going through. So in Seeking Christ in 2016, the first thing you're going to see is, I hate it, let's see if it works again this Sunday, is that reminded you that we have a mission statement. To passionately pursue the knowledge of our glorious God and to share that passion with all peoples of the earth. We have that. We haven't used it. Nobody would come here and maybe pick that out. But it is our mission statement. And so I'm trying to get back in some of the key words. We spent some time. Can't redo it. So go back and listen. I spent a lot of time last week laying the foundation that this still means something to me as your pastor. And it means something to our church. But as we go on through this seeking Christ, as we seek Christ, we'll see we get back to this. But in that, we're going to break it down into a couple different areas. And the first one is going to be just you. It's going to be just you. Seeking Christ with just you. And then we're going to add quickly in your family. And then last, we're going to deal with in the church. So this is just for what it is. This is, you're going to see my sermons are going to go from you, going to concentrate on you for a little while. It's good. Then we're going to go into the family, because it's important for you to know what happens in the family. And then it's important to see how you seek Christ in the church. Now, is there other bubbles outside of this? There can be. We could put the work. You could put your friends. You could put other things out there, right? But hopefully it's just this. There's just some of the areas that I think it is really, really important for you to be able to grasp on. So we're going to get back to the you part, because today this is what we're going to be concentrating on. We're going to be looking at... I'm learning. See, this is getting better each week. You. There, stay there. Great. Mike, we did a great job. We practiced a little bit before church. Last week that was miserable to try to get through. But so, seek Christ. Okay, seeking Christ, and we're starting with you. Now, why do we start here? Because I want you to know that God wants you first. If we're going to think that we're going to be seeking Christ in these other areas, and let me just say this. What did I put? And this is in no direct order. But I put the church, right? So if I'm coming to you as a church, and I want our church to seek Christ together, right? I know that I've got to start with you as an individual, because that's really where Christ begins. He starts with you. Everything you see throughout Scripture is that Christ is seeking this one-on-one, in all honesty, this relationship with you, and it carries over to other areas. But this is what you should be thinking of. Matter of fact, it's nothing even foreign to Christ, because when you think of Christ and you look at even Him, He spoke of... the relationship between people and Him. And this is something, let me just read to you of this. Matthew chapter 12, you don't have to turn there. Just listen to this. They were coming to them and saying, hey, your mother and father out there, they want to see you. He says, but He answered and said to them, one who told Him, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And He stretched out His hand toward His disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. He's basically saying this. You want to know who my family is? These are my family. Disciples of Christ is who's in His family. And so He's calling you into being this discipleship relationship with Him. He's calling you to be directly relating to Him. And so it just makes, it's just honestly, if there's any work that needs to be done, it's got to be there. You're going to have to seek Christ. You cannot, this is what I mean. You cannot think that the Shepherd's Church is going to seek Christ in 2016 without you, right? Can the Shepherd's Church seek after Christ if I am the one seeking after Christ? Right? Mm-mm. I can do that. But if you're not doing that together, then in all honesty, I'm just one part of the body, right? So, yeah, one part is, but how good is that? Okay? hobbling around on one foot, one pinky toe, one hand, or whatever. It's just not going to be the truth. It's not going to be sincere. It's just be a series of sermons, which I seriously don't want to do. I don't want to do a series of sermons and then you walk away and unchanged and no different than when I started. I'll be honest with you, that's like misery to me. And I don't say that a lot, but if there's not a lot of things that come out of my sermons, then honestly, it's like, well, then what's the purpose? What is God using this for? I hear testimonies at times, so I was using it, so I leave that up to Him. But I do not want to get out of this and just say, hey, I preached, had some great, I mean, it's a little better than I've done in the past, but it's great PowerPoint, great direction, but in all honesty, nobody ever sought Christ anymore when I was done. So I don't want that to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen, to be honest with you. I think you're going to see that God is going to work in all of us. So, but along this, I want you to know is that if I'm going to concentrate and remind you, and I'm going to get into some scripture here this morning, you're going to see all this is centered around you. But I want you to know, it's not just because it's about you. That's the world system, right? That is the world system. Is that I do not want you to think that everything needs to center around you and it's just, it's only about you. It is about Christ. And it's about dealing with getting closer to Christ is the goal here. But I am considering you. But again, you're not my end result. My end result is really just, my end result is I'm trying to get into Christ. I know I've got to get you, I'm trying to suck you up to Him. Get you to Christ. And so we're going to look at that. And I know something else, because going back to our mission statement, that this is going to have to be a passion in your life. This is going to have to be a desire. Listen, I can structure this thing really, really good for you. I say I can, maybe I can't. If I spent all week really trying to structure this out for you in each and every step of the way, you're like, wow, that was so well done, and he really just hit every mark, got me right up to the point of Christ. Let me tell you something. Do not expect that to happen. I'm going to let you down on that. You need to expect that if you're going to seek after Christ, it needs to come from a desire that starts to ignite within your soul that's already there because Christ is in your life, and it needs to just flourish, and it needs to grow. It has to be a desire, or else the mission statement needs to change, right? To passionately pursue the knowledge of our glorious God needs to change to something else other than passion, right? Not the desire. To maybe academically pursue the knowledge of our glorious God, right? Is that what we want to do? To academically pursue the knowledge of God? Where will that end us up with? Let me ask you something. What will we be equivalent to if we can learn everything about God? The demons. The demons know all about God. Great, we've got to the point where we know just as much as the demons believe, right? If we academically go after God to understand who God is, then great, we've got to the point of a demon. Praise God for that, right? That's not it. But if you are passionately pursuing with a desire towards God, that's a totally different thing, isn't it? That's being drawn unto God. That's being drawn. That's not being forced unto God. That's not God putting your hands behind your back and forcing you. That is drawing you unto Himself, in which we read some in last week's message about that. So, matter of fact, last week this is what we covered. Just if you weren't here, here's some of the high points for you. We covered some in Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. And this is it. Christ is a high priest. And He's come to cleanse your conscience from dead works. And He is calling us to draw near unto Him in Hebrews chapter 10, and also that He is faithful in His work. That's just a summation. That's really not the best summation. You can go back and listen to it. But that is part of what we learned last week. But so I want to continue from that, going from Christ, being the high priest, drawing and knowing that you must come unto Him. And you need to fight against, you really need to fight as you come to seek after Christ about any type of falsehood that's in your life, any type of false thought. Anything that's there that is false, you need to really look into these false ideas, dissect them correctly, pull them out, and then make sure that you are seeking after Him with the right desires. All right? To help you to do this is part of the structure part. This is part of the structure, giving you the sheet of paper to go over, right? The following, the very first question we dealt with today is, what is hindering you from being closer to Christ? And we talked about it. Thankfully, y'all were here, so I'm not going to rehash that out. But that is a question I want to answer in connection to the sermon series about you seeking Christ. So you know, in a sense, what is causing that little dash line right there? What is hindering you? What is that? When are you closest to Christ? When are you so connected to Christ? And when is this blue dot, if I had really cool ability to be able to take it over and throw it on the wall over there and project it over there and say, you're over there, man. That's where you're at. And you got a long way to seek to try to get back over here to be closer unto Him and where He's at. These are just thought processes we're going through. But this morning I want to help you, okay? I want to help you do some proper diagnosis of this, and I want you to be careful as you consider that question. We've already covered it, okay? And this is, and I will let you know, I've even tweaked a little bit of my sermon after a Sunday school lesson or a membership group, because I want to deal with something. I want to settle something with you this morning. Because as we were talking about that, I want you to know that one of the main answers, as I was listening, is what is not hindering you. What I hear and what I think at times, let me just say that, what I've thought in the past is what hinders me is this word discipline. Alright? What hinders me is discipline. I want to deal with that from the Word of God, because it is something that I believe is a hindrance in thought at times. And I have to be careful to be able to lay out some of this for you so you understand where I'm coming from. But it goes back to this proper diagnosis of what is hindering you. If you don't slow down enough and be careful, then you're gonna draw some wrong conclusions and be led down the same path sometimes. So let's deal with that. And what I want you to think about is if you carry this thought, what hinders me from being close to God is my lack of discipline. Now, I want you to take that thought process and try to take that thought process and suck yourself into the Word of God. Take that answer and consume yourself into Scripture. And look at the relationships within Scripture where Christ starts to define the problem you have is your lack of discipline. Think in context for a second. Your brain's probably going like this, maybe. Maybe you're starting to think of Scriptures. Maybe you're thinking about things. Let's just go to the positive, okay? Let's just go to the positive for a second, because you may come up with some of these, okay? And this is there. This is, matter of fact, there is a great book called Spiritual Disciplines by Donald S. Whitney, right? Is that his name? Donald Whitney. Love the book. Read it when I first got saved. Spiritual Disciplines. Great book. Now, do you think his answer is one thing that holds you from being close to God is being disciplined? It certainly does. It really does. He says, discipline without direction is drudgery. He deals with his desire. Discipline without direction is drudgery. He doesn't deal with just straight discipline. But he does deal with it. And his verse that he really is wrapping around this, and it's in Scripture. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. But verse 8 says, listen, just listen. For bodily exercise profits a little, but... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I got to back up. Let me just slow down for a second, because I want you to listen to these words. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Man, do I want to be there, right? I read that, want to be that. Nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed, but reject profane and old wives' fables. And, listen to this, this is it. Exercise yourself towards godliness. Exercise. He talks about exercise. Give an example of lifting those weights, right? I mean, what does that take to lift those weights? It's discipline, right? Nobody works out. You don't get a body like mine by being disciplined, right? Undisciplined gets you muscles like mine. If I was disciplined to work out all the time, I might be a little bigger. A little bit, not much. But I would still be a little bigger than what I am. I'm not disciplined to work out. I don't do that. You want to get out here and run? I'll be sucking wind by the time I get to my truck just about. Discipline. There's a part in our life that, yes, God understands. Exercise yourself towards godliness. But let me tell you something. For us, for you, for me, there is a problem with thinking that discipline is the answer. Because the desire is every spot that when Christ is talking about, He's talking about working through the proper desire. And just follow me. You just follow my thought. If you're not in this category, fine. I get it. But you think in the page of Scripture about the most disciplined people. You tell me in the pages of Scripture who was the most disciplined. Who is it, Karen? Who? Paul was disciplined. That's pretty good. Think of a bad example. No, Paul, you do see him disciplined. Think of some other examples. Pharisees. Were the Pharisees disciplined in godliness? On their fault? Oh, did you really? Oh, wow. Great. You nailed it. Good chance. Nailed it. You see him referring to that discipline, right? That's good. I was like, man, she didn't get it. You got it. You got it. Good. Exactly. In Scripture, right? And this was, now listen to me. Let me ask you, what they were disciplined in, what was it? Religious activity, was it not? I mean, they were if you came to them and you brought them, and we can't do the whole teleport thing, right? That's not been invented. I don't think it ever will be. We grab one of them, we bring them into one of our Sunday school or membership groups, we sit them around this little table down here and we say, now, let me ask yourself something. Who is disciplined here? Or we start talking about discipline, they're going to be, they got it, man. They said, man, I counted my steps before I came to church today. I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. They do a thing. We'll be like, wow, those folks are serious about God, right? They are, I mean, I'm telling you, compared to us, we look ridiculous, right? We are, guys, listen to me, these are heathens. And they look more God, and it's not just, guys, listen, this is not like the televangelists that are just preaching on money or something. I mean, they look religious. The world looks at them and says, these are our spiritual leaders, look at them. They're dressed right. They have on the right apparel. They don't say the wrong things. They don't watch the wrong movies, or they don't go to the wrong... Back then, it wasn't movies. I guess it was events. I forget the name. The Coliseum or whatever. They don't go... They're not sitting in the bars. Look at them. Those are the religious people. Those people got it down. They're disciplined, right? Now, you tell me. You tell me through Scripture that is not the truth, is that God ever looked at them and said, this is what you need to be like. So unless your righteousness exceeds this of the Pharisees, right? Your righteousness exceeds them. We don't want to be disciplined. We do not want to be disciplined. That is not our goal. That is not how we answer the question, what is hindering you from Jesus Christ? Because that will not produce the end result. You know why? Because we are not disciplined enough people. We're not. There's too many things that if you try, you try, you try. And this is a great New Year's message, right? New Year's, I'm going to do this and I'm going to serve Christ this year. This is what I want to do. I'm going to be disciplined this year. I'm going to lose a certain amount of weight. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to run further. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And oh, by the way, I'm going to read my Bible more this year. I'm going to pray more this year. I'm going to be more disciplined. Throw it away, guys. Throw that thought process out. That's hindering you. It's an absolute hindrance to you. Because let me ask you something. If you get that settled, you get it settled, then let me ask you, who receives the glory from that? If you get it nailed down, you come back and say, man, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I read my verses. I'm so glad I did this. I'm so glad I did that. Where did God work? Well, God worked because I was disciplined. because I did what I said I was going to do. Where did God work? It's a dangerous trap. I believe it's a dangerous trap for our church. And I think that because we've taught and we've said over and over, and a lot of times I've taught you this way. I've said, look, you need to be prepared. You need to do your homework, right? We were talking about that, even some in this. There's times whenever I've come to you in small group settings and said, listen to me, I'm going to push you. You need to do the work. So it's not that I'm going to tell you not to do those things, but that is not what's hindering you. It is a desire that hinders you. It is the proper desire that hinders the action. It is the indwelling of God being so strong in your life that the steps and the discipline come, and it comes from there. It comes from the heart and the right desires. When that starts to line up, then you start to know where Christ is at. You start to know that you're seeking after Him. And you won't come back. And what you'll come back to say is that God used you. Listen to me. You'll say that God used me, and only used me in one example, and it was undisciplined at the time. Who knows? God used you while you were at work. God used you while you were driving. God used you when you were being purposeful about going to somebody and ministering to somebody. Because you wanted to. Because you wanted to be there. God used you when you picked up the Bible and all you had was 5 minutes. You had 2 minutes. You had 2 minutes and you just opened the Word of God and you poured yourself into it for 2 minutes. Because you just craved the Word of God and God taught you something. And then you said, ah, I found Christ in 2 minutes. He was there. He was there, right? Not, I've got to do 15 minutes. I've got to do 30 minutes. I've got to discipline myself for this and this and this, and it got to work. Quit thinking that way, because God can work with whatever it is. We got to seek after Christ and find Him in every single instance. Quit waiting and quit thinking that the answer is the discipline. Get undisciplined with Christ, in a sense. Crave Christ. Seek after Him with a desire. If not, you know what it looks like? Looks like Peter later on, right? What does Peter say? Christ, I will be so disciplined, I will never leave you, right? Christ, they will not take you. I will chop his head off that I missed in his ear. I'm disciplined. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be disciplined, God. And what does Christ over and over teach people that want to just do it on their own, right? Peter's saying, Christ, I'll follow you. Christ says, come out here. Get out of the boat. There's water out there. What amount of discipline? You think you can have enough discipline? I'm going to have a discipline every day and I'm going to go out there and practice. I'm going to discipline. Nope. Sink in the water today. Nope. Sink in the water today. Goes out to the dock or whatever. I can't do it yet. I'm going to keep disciplining myself to learn. Right? To learn. Does that make sense? Did Christ ever teach anybody by, you keep doing, you keep doing, you keep doing, and you'll learn to trust in me? Right? What's the examples we have? Tell me. Think through Scripture. Come to me after church and just tell me. The overall example, what do we have? We have God being bigger than us. And what does He say? It's faith. It's faith. We have a God that's bigger than us. It's faith where He's going to somehow step and that's going to hold His foot. How can that happen? Every time that Christ was teaching His disciples, He got to the point where He shattered this idea of that I can do it. I can do it. Anytime they thought, I can do it, He comes back to them and says, oh, you little faith. They're tumbling in the boat. Christ, save us. Oh, you little faith. So, oh, you lack of discipline. Great. So you're not disciplined. So you're not disciplined. So you don't read your Bible enough. I get it. I don't either. So you don't pray enough. I get it. So how are you going to change it? You're going to get more disciplined? I beg you, get before God on your knees. And somewhere it becomes a desire in your heart. Because if it ain't a desire, then it ain't worth anything. So what is really hindering us? I want to turn to Hebrews. I want you to think along this idea of having faith in God. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read to you some verses. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. This is Hebrews. This is full. I can't give you all of Hebrews, but leading up to all this is about the sacrifice of Christ for our sins. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, this says, "For if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fire indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and counted the blood of the covenant by which was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But recall the former days in which you were illuminated." Listen to this. "You were illuminated. You endured a great struggle with sufferings, partially while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partially while you became companions of those who were so treated." So he's going on telling them, look, if you think that if you have sinned after knowing Christ, you're in a bad spot. But then he tells them, hey, look, you guys are the ones that endured a great struggle. So he goes on, "For you had compassion on me and my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance for after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, and if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So you've done these things, don't draw back from them. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." And then listen, I gotta go a few more verses. "Now, faith," listen to me, "now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that the things which are seen, which were not made of things which are visible." So what did he say? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." What does it say? What is Christ teaching you? Can you insert the word discipline? No. By faith. Christ is calling you to seek Him by faith and knowing this is who He says He is. And then He goes on this great example of all the patriarchs. The example He gives you of the ones that have come to Christ. The ones that are closest to Christ. Would you agree with me? Let me slow down. Make sure you get this point. Would you agree with me? And if you've read Hebrews, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You probably have read Hebrews. When you get into Hebrews chapter 11, the faith of Abraham, the faith of Moses, the walls of Jericho, all these examples, Sarah, I think, is included. All this stuff, the faith of the patriarchs, right? Would you agree with me? This is like the A team, right? God points these people out and saying, look at these people. Did He not set them as example before us, right? He said, look, I'm gonna use them. I'm gonna set them example. Now, who would want to be included in that list? Right? Praise God, I'm telling you, let me be there. I don't know. I don't care. I just don't want to be the one that God says, depart from me, for I never knew you, right? Just let me in. Let me in. I'll be glad to have the bad room in the big mansion or whatever. Just let me in. Let me in. I would love to know that I was in a list of these people. I'd love to know why He uses these people, right? What are you going to be what do you have in this world? What a testimony for these people. Now, what did He point out with them? Faith. What did they have? Faith. Does he talk about discipline? No. I mean, are these disciplined people? Not completely always, right? Not always. Moses wasn't always disciplined, right? He didn't get the promised land. Well, no, they're not always disciplined people, are they? They're not perfect people. Look at go back and read these people. What do they have? They have faith. So you seek after Christ and you see that there's an evidence of faith. Now let me read you something else as it gets a little bit further on. And this is going to sum up a little bit of this discussion for you, this message for you. Hebrews chapter 12. Skipping just for time period. I'm right on time. If I stop soon. Therefore, we also, Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, after he lists all, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is it, guys. What is hindering you? It is faith. It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of desire. He says, and then what is hindering you is this word. I don't have any prizes. If I did, Ted, I'm sorry, you get the prize for today. Ted summed it up and said, sin. What is hindering you from getting closer to Christ? And when he said that, I'm thinking, he's got it. I'm trying not to say it ahead of time, but I'm going to get there in my sermon, because Hebrews chapter 7 says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. It's ensnaring me. It is difficult. Lay it aside. I'm here to run. We're not talking about walking. I'm not talking about keeping just status quo here at our church. I'm talking about seeking after Christ. If you're only catching 10% of what I'm saying, this is seeking after Christ more than I have last year. So what's getting in your way? It's sin. It's sin. Let us run with endurance. So let me read it to you again. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Who are we seeking? Christ? We're seeking Christ? You with me? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Faith. You're catching it, ain't you? Thank you so much. You're catching it. Author and finisher of what? Our discipline? No. No. Throw it out the window. Author and finisher of our faith. Who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. For the joy. This is where John Piper is just spot on. This is why we have the word passion in our statement. It is for the joy. It wasn't for the discipline of Christ. It was for the joy of Christ that he endured. There is going to be things that are going to come that are going to be crosses in your life that you need to go for the joy. What is hindering you is Christ being that joy. What is hindering you is a passion for Christ. What is hindering you is in all honesty, is a lack of faith. That is your true hindrance. And it will continue to be. And it will continue to be that way until we properly and adequately diagnose our hearts. And now if you think that this is not really the issue with you, you think I'm off on this, is fine. I say it's fine. I'll use the term, I feel like God is showing me or teaching me, in a sense, through His Word. Let me say that. I don't think He's sitting on my shoulder. I think His Spirit is in me, but I think He is teaching me that I have had some tendencies And I have taught you some tendencies of that you've got to get more disciplined if we're going to do anything. And again, I'm ready to lay that aside. I'll take what God can do above what I think any of us can do. I'll take what God can do. And if when I deal with my issues, let me deal with my sin. Let me lay it aside so I don't get in the way. So right now, we're just dealing with you. So what's hindering you? Same question. I hope you have a little bit more instruction. Let us pray before God. Father, we've taught it.